Blog Talk Radio.
That's your portion, is the good news. You got to know what your portion is. Is it good news or bad news? Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm here to tell you your portion is good news. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're so happy to have each and every one of you on. It's good news. It's good news that the Word of God loves you more than you love yourself. That's good news. That's your portion. You have to see the Word loving you. It offers you. Let me calm down. Well, I got so excited this morning because the Word of God loved me. because the word is God and God is his word. And when you realize how good God is really to us, hallelujah. Well, we're going to ask Pastor Bell from Akron, Ohio, if she'll give us a word of prayer, who we missed yesterday. And we just want everybody to know we're so happy that everything worked out fine for her. Pastor Bell from Akron, Ohio.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for that selection, Pastor. Your portion is good news. Amen. And we thank God that our portion is good news because of his word. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from Hebrews, the 10th chapter and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today in the name of Jesus, we're thanking you, Father God, for another opportunity to study the Word of God, hear the Word of God, and then it teaches us to search the Scriptures that we may draw near to you, Father God. Lord, we just give you thanks for all things. We're thanking you for the listeners, those that are listening by internet. We're thanking you, Father God, for our pastor as he continues teaching this mighty word. We're thanking you, Father God, for the word of God being real and being alive.
Yes.
That it changes our lives, that it draws us closer to you. And we're so thankful, God, because through this word, through your word and the scriptures, we realize that we are new creatures in Christ. And, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Father God, be with all those that are sick and shut in. Your word tells us that by your stripes, we are healed. And we have to have that mindset to believe your word, and your word is faithful and true. And be with those who are bereaved, Father God, and those that are going through. In your word, again, it tells us you will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So, Lord, help us to have that mind of Christ so that we know that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And, Lord, we ask that you will open up our hearts and our mind to this word today, Father God. Let us receive the word in the lining of our heart where no one can take it from us, Father God. And Lord, continue to bless our pastor in a mighty way. Use him as he brings and teaches this word and help us to understand it more and more. Be with all those that are on our prayer list to ask us to keep them in prayer. And be with those who are going through because you're a way maker out of no way. We thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to come together once again. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Bell, for that beautiful prayer. And may God bless you. We're talking about the reality and living this new and living way. The reality, one of the reality is we have to understand that our heart, the spirit within us, is very dear to God, very dear to God. Your spirit, man, is really the part that's like God. That's why it's so dear to him. So what you do with it, is real dear to him. How you handle your spirit, man, is real important to God. Mm-hmm. And the only way you really get it renewed, or if I should say, the only part of you that's incorruptible is your spirit, because that's what get born again. Your mind, and I'll show you this, only reason things. Your mind think about stuff, but your heart has to make the final decision. Ooh, I better say that again right there. See, because whatever's in your spirit, man, that's what's going to come out. That's what's going to determine who you are and what you are. It's what you let come up out of your spirit. Jesus says it's not the things that go in the man, but what comes out of the man. You worried about food and everything. I want to know what words coming out of you, where your spirit man is at. And with all that being said, there's 2 points I want to make. The first point I want to make is, brothers and sisters, when the Bible talks about harden not your heart, and we've had several scriptures about harden not your heart, even in the book of Mark, to harden, it means that you're strengthened that. He said, stop strengthening your spirit in areas that you don't need to strengthen it. Because actually, God tells us that we're to love him with all our heart and with all our understanding and with all our soul and all our might and with all our strength. So your strength should be in loving God and not the things. And the Bible says in 1 Peter, because that's our foundational scripture, so I might well just let you all know, there's a couple of scriptures that's real important, and that's Hebrews 10 and 20. You got to know that this is that new and living way. The Bible calls this that. I didn't say that. So over in 1 Peter 3, when we read that, I think it was in 1 Peter 3 and 4. But anyway, what it says pretty much is this. Well, I like the fact that he says but, so I better go ahead and throw that in there. Because people want to dress up on the outside, and they are not understanding that it's about the inside. So what Peter said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and in that which is not corruptible. The only part of you that's not corruptible is your spirit. The rest of you is corruptible, but because you have put on the incorruptible, that makes everything about you incorruptible. I better say that one more time. Because these church folks, they be telling people that's what happens when you get over there. When you get over there, you're going to put on the incorruptible. No, wrong. You get an F for that. You get an F for that. You all put on the incorruptible here. How I know that? Because the word of God said being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. That's here. That's not over there. Now, I know some of y'all might have missed that, but that's good preaching right there, if you know it or not. The incorruptible seed is here. You don't wait till you get to the funeral, and then they tell people, well, they're going to be all right because they've gone over there and they've put on the incorruptible. They've taken out the corruptible. See, that old religious mess. See?
Yeah, mercy.
Listen, brothers and sisters, you got to listen to the Holy Ghost, okay? So.
Amen.
So that's important that you understand that, brothers and sisters, that incorruptible is here. That's why he said, let it be the hidden man of the heart. The word heart there is spirit. And that which is not corruptible, that is not corruptible. Even the ultimate of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. See, that means a lot to God. So that's our foundational scripture. Now, with that being said, let me move just a tad further. Because I want you all to understand this. We're talking about the heart, not the that muscle organ. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that 4-inch muscle that pumps blood through the veins and through the vessels and throughout your body and pump blood that carries oxygen. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. That is not the one we're talking about. You know, they say it's about the size of your fist, and it's located somewhere between your lungs in the middle of your compartment of your chest. That's what I've been told. Now, you have to do your own research. But that's just about right. And if you go closer to the left-hand side, that's pretty much where it's set. It's closer to the left than the right and then the center. But anyway, what's important, we're not talking about that heart. So I just want everybody to be clear, we're talking about the heart. So when Jesus started talking to these people over here in Mark 7, and we'll read maybe from the first verse through the ninth verse, Pastor, Mark 7. And let me tell you this too, brothers and sisters, because it's so important that you don't let your heart get hardened. And there's about three, four things that cause that to happen. And religious, being religious is one of them. I'll tell you that right off. Keeping the tradition of man will do that right off. That will pollute the heart. That will just damage everything. And I'm talking about the spirit now. That will damage everything you built your spirit man to be. You're going to damage it by being religious. And you're going to harden your heart, your spirit, and you don't want to do that. But over in, what I said, in Mark 7, and I'll go ahead on and read this, 7, let's see, 1 through 9, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. When they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Wow. For the Pharisees and all the Jews except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many of the other things there be which they had received to hold as the washing of cups and pots and brazen and vessels and tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well, have Esau prophesied, and we took that word Esau or Isaiah, prophesied of you hypocrite, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines and the commandments of man. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of man, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition.
Have mercy. Amen. From the Message Bible, the Pharisees, along with some religious scholars who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around him. They noticed that some of his disciples weren't being careful with ritual washing before meals. The Pharisees, Jews in general, in fact, would never eat a meal without going through the motion of a ritual hand washing with an especially vigorous scrubbing if they had just come from the market, to say nothing of the scouring they give jugs and pots and pans. The Pharisees and religious scholars ask, who do your disciples flout the rules showing up at meals without washing their hands? Jesus answered, Isaiah was right about frogs like you hit the bull's eye. In fact, these people make a big show of something. I'm sorry, these people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they are worshiping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fantasy, ditching God's command and taking up the latest fad. He went on, well, good for you. You get rid of God's command so you won't be inconvenienced in following the religious fashion. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, brothers and sisters, so these religious leaders, they sent like that investigation committee that was going to investigate Jesus. And when they came to Jerusalem, they checked Jesus out. Then the delegation, they didn't like what they found. But however, because Jesus scolded them, that's what they thought. They thought Jesus was scolding them and scolding them to keep the law and the tradition in order to look holy instead of honoring God. The prophet Isaiah, remember what he said over there in Isaiah 29, I think it was about the 13th verse, where he says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts, come out their spirit, far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. See, they thought more of what man was teaching than what God was teaching. So Jesus reminded them by using Isaiah's words to accuse these men. These were not Jesus' words. Remember now, these was Isaiah words. But, hey, they was finding fault. See, that's what religious people do. And let me put a pin right there because I want you all to know, religious people are the same, I'm just going to say church folk. It's the same religious people that was in that day. Them Pharisees and scribes, these are all religious people. That's what they are. And so when you see a church person, 9.5, the hypocrites.
And mercy.
Now, that may fix some of y'all the wrong way, and God bless you. But they're serving idol gods. So that'll tell you right there. They living a lie. They worshiping buildings, and they worshiping the system. I'm just keeping it real with you. This may not fit in your box today. I'll tell you that right now. So you don't have, I know I'm not going to get a whole lot of amen because I'm trying to keep your spirit from being hardened. Now, this message I'm teaching on today, that'll harden some people's heart. That'll make them get more dedicated to what they're doing. And I know that because the Bible says, Isaiah prophesied of you people. Y'all draw near to me now with your mouth.
Yeah. Okay, say that.
You'll say all the words that you need to be said. Great is he that is in me, the he that's in the world. I'm not the tail, I'm the head. I mean, they know all the saying. They lips, they know how to draw. But God said, now when it comes down to honoring me with your heart, you won't do it. And not only you won't do it, but your teachers teaching you not to do it. Preach. Yeah, because they kept the tradition of the elders. So Mark explained to these Jewish writs that they have, religion rules. And so Mark was explaining, because he was a witness of this stuff. And remember, he was really explaining this to the non-Jewish audience that he had. He had like a non-Jewish audience. So maybe they didn't know and they didn't understand. So he took the moment to explain to them, because each meal, devout Jews perform a short ceremony. Every time they got ready to eat, it had to be a ceremony. Don't y'all laugh at me. But it had to be a ceremony involved. Or washing their hands, and how they would wash their arms in a specific way. Not just wash, but they had to do it in a specific way. So the disciples did not have dirty hands, brothers and sisters. It wasn't that. Your mind tells you that, but their hand wasn't dirty. The Jews was upset because they wasn't doing it religiously. See, some things you have to do religiously. And y'all probably seen some of them. They have to wear their hair. They have to bow the same way. They have to throw the rugs out. You know, just like people in the church. You know, take your hat off if you're going to come in here. They got all this whole religious stuff, put on the roll when you're going to get baptized. They got religious stuff you do all the time. And some of that carried on into people's houses, into their homes.
Right.
So the Pharisees thought this ceremony cleansed them from any contact that they may have had. And I mean, and it was sort of like whatever the condition was, that took care of it. Not understanding that they were still unclean. So Jesus said, they are wrong thinking, wrong way of thinking in your hearts. So they was accepting God just because they were clean on the outside. Think about it. I said this yesterday, and it's worth repeating today. How ignorant is that? People are clean the outside of the cup. What about the inside? Which is really more important, the inside or outside?
Inside.
Yeah, but their focus was the outside. And that's what I see in the church today. In the organized church, is that it's the outside they're concerned about. Make sure you look good. Make sure your car is clean. Make sure you're wearing the right attire. You know, that they adorn themselves with jewelry and certain things. They give the look. So when they go into the building, it's all about the look. See, they draw a nod to God, but it's only with their lips and but their heart is not into God. And this is what Jesus was teaching the Pharisees. So he called them hypocrites. If Jesus was here today, he would go to every one of these organized churches and call them hypocrites. Why, you ask? Because a hypocrite is pretending to be something you are and not have no intention of being that. Do I need to give you that definition again? This is what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is someone who are not have any intention, no intentions at all of being that, whatever that is. They don't have no intention of being that. They are pretenders, not intenders. They are pretenders and not intenders. So Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. They had no intention of being a Christian. They had no intention of being what the Word of God say they are. They had no intention. Y'all excuse me for a minute here. They had no intention. So Jesus called them out. And on the fact because of their ceremonies, because of their devotion. He called them out on all of this. And he called them hypocrites. So they worship God for the wrong reasons. Their worship mm-hmm. was not motivated by love, like the word says. You love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your spirit, and with all thy strength. That wasn't the case here. Listen, brothers and sisters, I really want you all to hear this from the bottom of your spirit, man. I want you to hear this. They profile, and I don't even know if I should go there, but their profile was not that of a what the Bible calls somebody who loved God. Because the word says that thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, the very first commandment. But they wasn't doing this. So now you understand why I say 95% of the people in these organized churches, they don't love God like that. They have other reasons. And God himself, Jesus said, they worship not they was worshiping in vain. And I'm going to say this again, too, because worship over in John 4, God wants somebody to worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's in your heart and with his word. That's how you, in other words, you're having an executive meeting with God, and it's all based on his word. See, when you're having a meeting with God, it's all based on his word. So, their desire to attend some kind of a, I don't know, holy look before God. And God knew them. He knew their stature. He knew what they were all about. And let me tell you, there's three reasons you become a hypocrite. I'm gonna go ahead on and because this is what they did. They paid more attention to the repetition than they did the character. Two, they carefully follow certain religious practice while allowing the out hearts to man remain distant from God. And that's what they teach. Mm. They don't teach people to get close to God. They may say occasionally read your Bible, but they don't teach that. What they teach is you come here and we have classes for this. We have beginner's classes. We have intermediate classes, and we have adult classes. We have senior classes. Come here. Instead of telling people, get in your word and let the Holy Ghost teach you, they won't do that.
Have mercy.
Yeah, and that's what we ought to be teaching people to do, to abide in that word and the word abiding on them, in them. So
yeah,
they don't teach that. And thirdly, they emphasize our values, but others sin. That's what they do. They emphasize what their values are, but if it's not in line with their tradition, it's sin. So the Pharisees, they was known for adding hundreds of their own pretty rules and regulation to God's holy word and laws. And they tried to force people to follow these rules. That was a constant thing. And that's what organized churches do today. They force people to follow their rules. These men was claiming to know God well in every detail of life. They had it all, and most of these people, you'll see they got it already fixed from the time you get in there to the time you leave. These are all still religious leaders today. who add rules and regulation to God's word, causing much to be confused. And a lot of people are confused. And it really, when you think about it, they began to become idolatrous because they began to worship idol gods. Now, they claim that they are interpreting the word of God. That's what they claim, that every preacher that's in a pulpit or have a robe on claim to have heard from God, and they are interpreting the word of God. But listen, brothers and sisters, the word is as important as God's word itself. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah.
Why make God less than his word? How ignorant is that? So it's especially dangerous to set up unbiblical standards for others to follow. I mean, it looked like Christ was guiding about how that they should worship God in spirit and in truth. So the Pharisees used God as an excuse to avoid helping their families. So when you get to reading about some things of the Pharisee, and I'm going to say this, and like I told you yesterday, we're going to go over just a tad bit today, because I wanted some people to understand that these Pharisees, man, they was read this whole chapter when you get through, and I'll just go through some things and point them out. Just like, for instance, when I think about these Pharisees, how they use excuses to not help their family. As a matter of fact, they formed a band that they call the Coban. And the Coban, and you can probably find that over there in, I think it's in Matthew 15. But the Coban, what they did was they vowed to help other people. Now, they really did that so they wouldn't have to help their own family. So they take their money. And this is Bible now. They vow to help these people rather than to help their own family members. That I see that in the churches today, where I give to the mission and I give to the needy. Da, da, da. And you got family members, fathers and mothers suffering. But you rather go and give to some charitable organization or one of the things that you give to, and not even sure where it's going. But see, that's what those Corban was about. They were giving, they was constantly getting money, and they would get, so they can avoid giving. And so this is what Jesus was talking about. Y'all better keep the tradition of man than the condition of God. God told you to love your father and your mother, that your days may be longer. But you all claim that, hey, it's not wrong to help other people, because that's what God said. See, they take the word of God out of context. But they did that to avoid helping their family. And when you do your research, you'll find this out. So the Pharisees, especially when it came to the laws of God, God was right on his laws. But the Pharisees would take it and try to twist it. So when they talk about needy, they weren't talking about their own. So when you read over there, where Leviticus 25 and 35 through 43, you'll see that kind of like explains what their roles were. But rather than get into all of that, here's what I want to point out. Some gave money and time to God, but we must not never use an excuse to neglect our responsibility by helping those that are in need. And don't play on words and don't play on situations like these Pharisees did and these scribes did. Well, you know, I have to help with the building fund. You said that so you don't have to help your sister or your brother or somebody. Well, you know, I got to pay my tithes, honey. I know y'all probably ain't heard this kind of old talk, but I'm telling you what I know. people does this all the time. They'll use all kind of excuses not to help. They got children. Some of them got children. They'd rather give that money to a building fund than help their own children. Well, let him go get a job or let her do this. That person's in need. And especially those that won't help their mothers. And I'm going to talk to this group for a second here. If you know your parents are struggling, help them. Help them.
Amen.
Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Yeah. I mean, that's probably why I like over there in I think it's in Philippians. I think about it for a moment. It's in Philippians 4. But they was always trying to avoid different things and always would use the law. And their intention was never to fulfill the law. Their intention was to degrade what other people were saying. And as leaders, they would make their own law. And I probably could tell you they had hundreds and hundreds, and I wouldn't be off. So when Jesus was dealing with these people, I need to say this too, because that's something else. Pastor, I want you to read, if you will, Acts 10 and 9, and we're just going to read a few of these verses before we go. We got a couple more minutes here. But in Acts 10, and 9 through 29, but you don't have to read it all. Just maybe read half of it. And here's what you're going to find out. It's so many people want to use food for an excuse. Well, I don't eat this and I don't eat that. See, you got to be careful with that. They was following the tradition of man. So God broke all that. He tore up all that. He said, now you ain't going to use this for no excuse anymore. And they want to use Peter, and Peter would say, oh, I'm not eating this. I'm not. You got to read the whole story and see how God chastised Peter. You don't call nothing not made unclean, unholy. Who are you? And what God was talking about had to do with the spiritual and not the physical. But that's what man would do because he wanted to satisfy his own soul, satisfy his own spirit, his own heart. But Pastor, if you would read that, I appreciate it.
Amen. And from the King James, Acts 10, beginning with the 9th verse, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had inquired for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by the holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Amen.
And really, brothers and sisters, you got to go and really study that thing, because I want you all to know that when God is involved,
come on,
he shows you the spiritual thing, the thing that you've been practicing that was common, that was unclean. God put a stop to all of that. He put a stop to that. Yeah. And God removed that dual restriction regarding food. That's what he did. He removed that. So we're not pure because of the outward act. We'll become pure on the inside as Christ renews our minds and our spirit and transform us into his image. And that's the thing, brothers and sisters. It's what's in your heart.
Amen, amen.
Your heart is your spirit, man, okay? Well, thank you so much, Pastor, and thank you all for sticking around. I see there was quite a few that stuck around today, and I appreciate you. But, hey, brothers and sisters, I want you all to know right now, the Holy Ghost want to use you in a mighty way. He want to use you. So don't take this message for granted, because sooner or later, somebody going to cross your path, going to need this word. And it's going to be your responsibility to share with them, especially when it comes to food and things. People got all these old religious spirits. Some folks don't even go to church, and they got more religious spirit than the people in the church building. Yeah, well, I don't eat this, and I don't eat that, and I'm calling what God made unclean. Oh, you can't socialize with these people or that people. I told her, I was talking to Pastor the other day, and we were talking about, you know, sometimes people, they judge people because of their race. But sister, you got to stop doing that crazy stuff. You don't judge nobody on their race, their nationality, their culture.
Yes,
so what? She black and he's white. Leave them folks alone.
Amen.
Leave them alone.
Amen.
Now, I got a problem when people are gay. I got a problem with that. They got to see me then, because we got to go to the scripture.
All right now.
But you don't judge people, and you don't make people who's gay, put them on the same level of people's pigmentation of their skin. Two different things. two different animals. But they try to hide under that. People try to hide under the fact that if you gay, you just like being discriminated because of color. That's not so, brother and sister. That's something they done kind of smoothed over to get your attention. Mm-hmm. That's all of it. That's not God. God let you marry who you want to marry. But when it comes to his laws, when it comes to the purity or what God is all about, he ain't never crossed nothing like that, put two men together and two women together. That ain't God. That's just another lie from the enemy, because he's the God of this world, and that's one of the things that he can smooth over on people. And you don't have to accept that. And I refuse to accept it. So if you don't know me, by now you will know me. I don't accept stuff like that. It's just wrong. Two men laying up with each other. Ain't no God in there. Two women left. Now, I get it. Maybe a man and a woman ain't married yet, whatever, whatever. They may have reasons. I'm not getting off into that. But at least that's in line with what God is doing. But two women? Come on now. Two women? If you can't see that, you really blind. And you become corrupt, according to Romans 1. You have changed God's stuff to your stuff. Yeah. And don't accept it. You don't have to accept it. Yeah, but you don't know, this is my daughter, and I just, like I told y'all the other day, well, you know, and I'm about to lose her. You already lost her. You done had all them years to teach her that a woman needs to be with a man and a man, and now all of a sudden she done got with another woman, you already lost her. I don't know where you lost her, when you lost her, but you need to give her to God and then get somewhere on your knees and start praying. And maybe don't get up until God change her heart. You know that's possible. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, thank y'all so much, and we'll see you all on tomorrow for the word at noon. Oh, that's right. Tomorrow is Thankful Thursday.